Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhi Tamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Page 100, Chapter 12, the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam summarized. Suta Goswami continued, Lord Hari, the supreme controller of all beings, annihilates the accumulated sins of the Kali age, yet other literatures do not constantly glorify him. But that supreme personality of Godhead, appearing in his innumerable personal expansions, is abundantly and constantly described throughout the various narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So that's the specialness. In other words, even though he's the one that's making everything work, he's not necessarily always constantly glorified, but in the Bhagavatam he is.
You know, in the other Purana, God is called Krishna?
Sorry?
In the other Purana, God is called Krishna?
It depends upon what... It's just a matter of what the story's about, I would think. It'll always be about the Lord, so the Satvik Puranas will be focusing on Vishnu, the Rajasic on Brahma and the Tamasic on Shiva.
Yes.
It's not that they don't have all of the things there. It's just that they're written for someone who's more interested in this aspect. So you bring out more of those stories.
Yes. Okay. But here it is specifically about the name.
It means everywhere it mentions this Krishna, because Krishna means, it means the all-attractive.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. So you can say is, I'm not sure Bhaktivinoda doesn't mention that it's the original name. He has unlimited names.
Yes.
But it's the origin of all of them, because being the all-attractive, then all the others have meaning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like that. Srila Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur elaborates, the Lord is the destroyer, Kala Naha, of the accumulated sins of Kali. Anupadam means in every subject or chapter. Other works glorify karma and devatas like Brahma. Akhilesha means the soul with the universal form. Narayana, or the protector of the world, Vishnu. These works do not glorify Vishnu. If they do, it is not much. Mm-hmm. The word tu indicates restriction. In Bhagavatam alone, iti tu, Bhagavan, who has unlimited forms like Narayana, is profusely described. Because mostly they will be discussing about Narayana.
Yes.
And even that, he says, not necessarily much.
Yes.
But here it's specifically talking about Krishna as Bhagavan. Mm-hmm. As a personality. So they're always referring to him as God.
Yes.
Right? But here you're going beyond that. This is not done in other works. No such consideration has been made. By all topics introduced, in every line, Bhagavan is glorified completely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always about Krishna. That's what makes the uniqueness of the Bhagavatam.
Mm-hmm. So then the other Puranas, they mention as Narayan or Vishnu as Bhagavan. So Bhagavan, the definition depends upon who is referring to it. Because we glorify in Bhagavatam Krishna.
No, but when you're mentioning about Krishna, but who are they referring to?
Either Narayan or Vishnu or any other different avatars.
Yes. So you do have the aspect of the Bhagavan, but what's the approach? Why are they respecting that form of the Lord?
Maybe opulence or whatever it means.
Yeah, it means because he's God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the point, is that he's God is mentioned here, but it's also that Krishna beyond. It's always about Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. So we're not just talking about Godhead.
Yes.
Narayan is Godhead.
Yes.
That's the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yes.
And so sometimes you see when Krishna, Prabhupada is talking about Vishnu, he'll say the Personality of Godhead.
Yes.
He won't say the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's
yes.
Krishna.
Yes.
So the whole point is the Bhagavatam talks about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That you won't find in any other literature.
Yes.
They won't make that as the prominent focus.
Yes.
Others might mention, but they don't make the focus.
Mm-hmm.
They'll always be dealing with generally him as the personality of Godhead, and even that they don't. There's not much.
Yes.
Sutta Goswami concluded, "I bow down to that unborn and infinite supreme soul, whose personal energies affect the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material universe. Even Brahma, Indra, Shankara, and the other lords of the heavenly planets cannot fathom the glories of that infallible personality of Godhead. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the eternal Lord and leader of all other deities, who, by evoking his nine material energies, has arranged within himself the abode of all moving and non-moving creatures, and who is always situated in pure transcendental consciousness." Footnote 23. The nine Shaktis are Prakriti, Purusha, Mahatattva, Ahankar, and the five Tanmatras. So this one, Shaktis are 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so this is, because before you had the five, Ahankara, and Mahatattva.
Yes.
Right, so this one then mentions is the Jiva and Pradhan. So you just it's the same seven, just adding Jivas and Pradhan.
So Purusha, you're supposed to Jiva.
Yeah, you would expect. The nine Shaktis are, so then Purusha here has to be, if it's a Shakti, it must be Jivas.
Because
mm-hmm. right? Otherwise then it would be, because yeah, because it's him with.
Mm-hmm.
So you get him, but he's the tenth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's the first, and then you have these nine. "Let me offer my respectful obeisance unto my spiritual master, the son of Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami. It is he who defeats all inauspicious things within this universe. Although in the beginning he was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman realization, and was living in a secluded place, giving up all other types of consciousness, he became attracted by the pleasing, most melodious pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. He therefore mercifully spoke the Supreme Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the bright light of the Absolute Truth, and which describes the activities of the Lord." Oh, the topics of the Bhagavatam, and then the glory, that's, okay. So I thought that there was okay. Got it. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "Having offered respects to Krishna, he offers respects to his guru. Sukadeva's heart was completely filled with bliss of Brahman. Because of that, his mind was devoid of other subjects. But although he had achieved this state, he became strongly attracted by the pleasing pastimes of Krishna. Thus his mind was drawn away from Brahman, and he became capable of tasting rasa." Right, because otherwise in Brahman there's no rasa.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's just that self-satisfaction that is there. "He became fixed in those pastimes. The rasa of Krishna's pastimes was not an obstacle which broke his samadhi. By that taste, he could have striven for the goal of samadhi. But he did not do that. Rather, by his mercy, desiring that others should taste Krishna's pastimes, he spread the Bhagavatam, which reveals the nature of the rasa of the pastimes, tattva deepam." And so he could have he was already absorbed in samadhi, having come across the taste of devotional service. He could have taken that and just absorbed himself in samadhi there, but he was preaching. Harer gunak kshipta matir bhagavan badarayanihi adyagan mahad akyanam nityam vishnu janapriha. Sukadev, the son of Vyas, whose mind became disrupted from Brahman trance by the qualities of Krishna, and who became attracted to the Vaishnavas, studied this great Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.11. Parinishtopi nirgunya uttama shloka lilaya grihita Cheta Rajarshe Akyanam Yad Adhitavan. Though I was fixed in Brahman and beyond the gunas, my mind became attracted to the pastimes of the Lord. I thus learned his pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:19. Right, so because he's fixed in Brahman and beyond the gunas, they can tell the difference between what is transcendental is not.
Yes.
And they're only absorbed in what's transcendental. So when he hears the pastimes of the Lord, even though it's forms, qualities, you know, all these different aspects, then they can see it's transcendental because it doesn't disrupt.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They maintain the same transcendental position, but just they go farther into rasa.
Yes.
So that's the whole point. They can tell the difference. So these impersonalists who claim to be liberated and can't tell the difference, then that points that they're not actually liberated.
Yes.
Otherwise, if they were liberated, they would know that these pastimes are transcendental.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's your first indication.
Yes.
Right? If they're impersonalists claiming they're liberated, but they're not seeing the Lord's pastimes as transcendental,
yes,
then, you know, if they're a Mayavadi, they're not liberated.
Yes. Yes.
It's simple.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Brahmavadis, maybe, but Mayavadis, never.
Yes. Yes.
They talk about it.
Yes. But now it seems that Shukadev Uvami, from a Brahmavadi, has been to become a devotee, pure devotee, and then after he just asked Krishna, like Krishna, just spread the Bhagavatam for the welfare of all living entities. So the pure devotee has the same spirit in the Lord.
Yes, yes. Yeah. As Prabhupada mentioned, he says, you're going back to Godhead, so, you know, in the process, take as many people as you can with you. That's the whole point. So this, yeah. Conclusion. When people properly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or simply hear about his power, the Lord personally enters their hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune. Words that do not describe the Transcendental Personality of Godhead, but instead deal with temporary matters, are simply false and useless. Only those words that manifest the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord are actually truthful, auspicious, and pious. Lord Hari, the Supreme Controller of all beings, annihilates the accumulated sins of the Kali Age. Yet other literatures do not constantly glorify him. Right? Not that they don't glorify, they don't constantly. That's the thing about Bhagavatam. But that Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing in his innumerable personal expansions, is abundantly and constantly described throughout the various narrations of this Bhagavatam. So all his expansions are there, and how he's in Narayan, how he's that, how even as Brahman, how the whole creation is based upon that, but it always goes back to the personality of Godhead.
Yes.
That's the unique thing. Well, we don't get two pages of that. I was just thinking, there's another twist there.
Yeah.
Chapter 13, The Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Pratigya. Srimad Bhagavatam is declared to be the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. Adhyaya Prakashika. The 13th chapter offers respects, prayer of auspiciousness concerning the Lord, enumerates the Puranas, and glorifies gifting them. Sardartha Darshani 12:13:1. The total corpus of the Puranas includes 400,000 verses, 18,000 of which constitute Srimad Bhagavatam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, instructed Brahma in this Srimad Bhagavatam, whose narrations produce detachment from matter, and which contains the essence of all the Vedanta. One who gives the Srimad Bhagavatam as a gift will attain the highest destination. Among all the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is the best, and it is the most dear thing to the Vaishnavas. It reveals that spotless, supreme knowledge accessible to the Paramahamsas, and it also reveals the process by which one can become free from the reactions of material work, a process enriched with knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Having thus glorified the Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami meditates upon Lord Sri Narayana as the original absolute truth, who is perfectly pure, free from all contamination, devoid of sorrow and immortal. Then he offers obeisances to the greatest yogi, Sri Sukadeva, who is non-different from the absolute truth. Finally, praying with true devotion, Suta Goswami offers respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Hari, who takes away all misery. Shloka Anusharana, verses 1 to 23, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Suta Goswami said, under that personality whom Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, and the Maruts praise by chanting transcendental hymns and reciting the Vedas with all their corollaries, Pada Kramas and Upanishads, to whom the chanters of the Samaveda always sing, whom the perfected yogis see within their minds after fixing themselves in trance and absorbing themselves within him, and whose limit can never be found by any demigod or demon, under that Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my humble obeisances. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Korma, a tortoise, his back was scratched by the sharp-edged stones lying on massive, whirling Mount Mandara, and this scratching made the Lord sleepy. May you all be protected by the winds caused by the Lord's breathing in this sleepy condition. Ever since that time, even up to the present day, the ocean tides have imitated the Lord's inhalation and exhalation by piously coming in and going out. And piously means they follow the law. So they only come in so much and then they go back out. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur writes, actually, the Lord in the form of Korma churned the milk ocean. The Devatas were the cause in name only. Similarly, the churning of the ocean of the Vedas to produce the Bhagavatam was done by the Lord alone. Vyasadeva only repeated it. That is expressed in this verse. By the scratching caused by the edges of stone of the very heavy Mandara mountain, when it was rotated, Korma became sleepy. May the breathing of that sleepy Lord protect you. The Lord as Mohini, right, because the breathing is the Vedas. Right? The Lord as Mohini, taking the nectar obtained from the churning, cheated the demons and gave it to the Devatas, his devotees. Similarly, the Lord has churned the Vedas and produced the Bhagavatam containing the nectar of bhakti. Cheating the demons, may he give the nectar to you. Right, because the demons aren't interested, so they don't appreciate. This is the form of a benediction to the devotees. Because of following a few moments of the breathing of Korma, the oceans continually ebb and flow, one may argue, but the oceans move because of the tides, not because of the Lord's breathing, end quote. The tides are only a pretext. Actually, it's the Lord doing this. Suta Goswami continued. Now please hear a summation of the verse length of each of the Puranas. Then hear of the prime subject and purpose of this Bhagavat Purana, the proper method of giving it as a gift, and glories of such gift-giving, and finally the glories of hearing and chanting this literature. The Brahma Purana consists of 10,000 verses, the Padma Purana of 55,000, Sri Vishnu Purana of 23,000, the Shiva Purana of 24,000, and Srimad Bhagavatam of 18,000. The Narada Purana has 25,000 verses. The Markandeya Purana, 9,000. The Agni Purana, 15,400. The Bhavishu Purana, 14,500. The Brahma Vivarta Purana, 18,000. And the Linga Purana, 11,000. The Varaha Purana contains 24,000 verses. The Skanda Purana, 81,100. The Vamana Purana, 10,000. The Korma Purana, 17,000. The Matsya Purana, 14,000. The Garuda Purana, 19,000. And the Brahmanda Purana, 12,000. Thus, the total number of verses in all the Puranas is 400,000. 18,000 of these, once again, belong to the beautiful Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's what we have here. Nice. That's what's been revealed. Otherwise, originally there's, I think, a billion verses. Nice. Like that. That's in Tattvasandarbha, mentions that? Or?
No, it comes.
It'll come, yeah.
Okay. Brahma, what in the Brahma Loka, I believe.
Yes. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami is quoted from the Matsya Purana as follows. After compiling the 18 Puranas, Vyasadeva, son of Satyavati, composed the entire Mahabharata, which contains the essence of all the Puranas. It consists of over 100,000 verses and is filled with all the ideas of the Vedas. There's also the account of the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra spoken by Valmiki, an account originally related by Lord Brahma in 1 billion verses. Okay, so Ramayana was big. That Ramayana was later summarized by Narada and related to Valmiki, who further presented it to mankind so that human beings could attain the goals of religiosity, sense gratification, and economic development. The total number of verses in all the Puranas and Itihasas, histories, is thus known in human society to amount to 525,000. Right, so in other words, you have 400,000 as the Puranas, then 100,000 is Mahabharata, or over that it says, and then the Valmiki Ramayana, then is 25 or 24, something in there. Means they're itihas. So you have Puranas and itihases.
But itihasa means only two books.
No, itihas, there are more, but these are the ones that we worry about. Like, you know, how you say? The itihas and Kalidas, we don't really worry about too much.
Okay.
So, Purana means it'll give the list of all the kings.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Itihas means it's on one king.
Yes.
Right? So Mahabharata is about the Pandavas.
Yes, yes.
And Ramayana is about Lord Ramachandra. Yes. It may mention where they come in the yes. history.
Yes.
But the story is just about them. Yes.
No, Samaraj, itihasas follow the strict chronological order, whereas the Puranas follow that 10 topics or the 5.
Okay, yes, yes.
Yes.
So, yeah. And so they go through. So generally it appears that they're not as much a conversation. Or the Puranas are. So that's why you may go back and forth between things and like that. But the itihasas then is just one narrator going through the whole thing.
Yes.
And within that, there'll be narrators within narrators within narrators. You know, that, you know, it's just a faded style.
Do we have something called as Upapuranas?
Upapuranas are just, they only deal with like 5 topics, or they're in support of other Puranas like that. Suta Goswami continued. It was to Lord Brahma that the Supreme Personality of Godhead first related the Srimad Bhagavatam in full. At that time, Brahma, frightened by material existence, was sitting on the lotus flower that had grown from the Lord's navel. From beginning to end, the Bhagavatam is full of narrations that encourage renunciation of material life, as well as nectarine accounts of Lord Hari's transcendental pastimes, which give ecstasy to the saintly devotees and demigods. Right? So we see this, that there's always this aspect, the jnana yoga is always covered in these topics of bhakti. Right?
Yes.
But it's so that you give up the material world so that you can take up the spiritual.
Yes.
That's the whole point. The Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedanta philosophy because its subject matter is the absolute truth, which, while non-different from the spirit soul, is the ultimate reality, one without a second. The goal of this literature is exclusive devotion unto that supreme truth. That's the purpose of it.
Yes.
It's not something else. Like we see in the others, Dharma, Artha, and Kama, then were mentioned so that people would be involved in those in connection with the Lord. So Ramayana, you know, very much does that. Mahabharata also more.
Yes.
It also, I think, Mahabharata will deal with moksha like that. Otherwise, yeah. But the point is it's connecting those. So people will tend towards those because they're karma misra, jnana misra, bhakti.
Mm.
So we see those are very, very popular.
Mm.
A Bhagavatam, because it's exclusive devotional service to the Supreme Absolute Truth, then generally is less popular. Yes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This verse speaks of the subject matter and goal. The host, Vrata, of topics concerning the pastimes of the Lord is sweet. The devotees who are called devatas become blissful because of these topics. Right? Because suras means those who surrender to the Lord. Asuras means those who don't. The subject of these topics is bhakti, and bhakti is sweet nectar. The goal is prema, because by prema one can taste the sweetness of bhakti rasa. The phrase, quote, "it gives bliss to the devotees," end quote, means that the devotee's experience of prema means that the devotee's experience, I guess it would be experience prema, or means the devotee's experience of prema.
Devotee's experience prema, of is not there. The word of is not there. Devotee's experience prema means that the devotee.
Okay. By the use of the words nectar and devatas, the Bhagavatam giving nectar to devotees is indicated. By this, the scripture's nature as Mohini is indicated, since she is famous for giving nectar to the devatas. With a movement of her brow to the devotees who know her identity, unseen by others, she says, "Appearing in this way, I must be favorable to you. Cheating the demons, I will give you the nectar." By moving her eyebrows at the demons who do not know her identity, she says clearly, "By my appearance..." Oh, the helicopter. Just thinking. That's
here.
Yes. By moving her eyebrows at the demons who do not know her identity, she says clearly, "By my appearance, you should gain victory. Giving you nectar is a secondary affair. The main thing is that I will constantly give you astonishing bliss while you remain householders. I will serve a little nectar first for the lowly devatas." Right? Yeah, it sounds good. You know, they're the ones that are, you know, are going to be, how you say, victory. They're going to be blissful. Right, you know, in their household affairs and all that. So second, getting the nectar is secondary, you know, but I'll give some to these lowly devotees. End quote. Similarly, the Bhagavatam, in half a verse, speaking of the giving the devotees nectar of his pastimes, indicates the goal of the Bhagavatam. But the Lord has also said, "Paroksha vada, rishaya paroksham mama cha priyam." The Vedic seers and mantras deal in esoteric terms, and I also am pleased by such confidential descriptions. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:21-35. Thus, having said what is unnoticed by most people, he speaks another subject and goal for the person who does not know the Lord but thinks he knows scriptures. Quote, "It is the essence of all Vedantas, which is oneness with Brahman, an object with no duality. The work has Brahman as its subject, nishtam, and merging in Brahman as its main goal." Right? So, as devotees, you know what the subject matter. You know what this means. It's the essence of all the Vedantas, right? Because the essence of the Vedanta means is prema, which is oneness with Brahman. So who's that Brahman? Sri Krishna. So that's oneness in that mood. Right? When in qualities, there's a oneness because then you can interact. But then the important thing is applying that so that in the mood, trying to please. And the object with no duality means it's all him. Right? Means he's non-dual.
Yes.
Right? So it's a matter of that closeness with him. The work has Brahman as its subject. So Brahman is the supreme Brahman, is Krishna. You know, nishtam, being fixed in Brahman, and merging in Brahman is its main goal. So being absorbed in prema, that's the main goal. That, some people explain this, the verse as follows. Because this scripture speaks of both bhakti and jnana, after speaking of the subject and goal of bhakti and prema, the work then speaks of jnana and merging as the subject and goal. Brahman is the subject. This work has its goal, merging kaivalyam, as its one goal. So some explain like that. Others explain as follows. At the beginning of this work, it is understood from the second verse that bhakti is the subject within the words dharma, dharma, projita, kaitavotra, and from the same verse with the words sadyo, hridyavarujyate, atra, kritibihi, it is understood the prema is the goal. Thus, by the predominance of bhakti over jnana and liberation, its goal in the whole work, bhakti is indicated as the main subject, and prema is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
It is also necessary to give an esoteric meaning to the verse, right? Because it's done in this way that those who want, they can take this other aspect.
Yes, yes.
Because the devotees aren't going to be bewildered. Mm-hmm. That's why it was so important that we don't take words by their dictionary definition,
yes. mm-hmm.
but by the definition the acharyas give us.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So scholars, when they put together, then they'll put it together in one way.
Mm-hmm.
But the devotees, because that means is how the word can be used,
mm-hmm.
but how it should be applied, that's what the acharyas give.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So the one is just for grammatical use.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going, when you apply it, it's actually meant to connect to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So
just as we saw Prajna today morning, intelligence.
Yes, yes, just like that. Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is also necessary to give an esoteric meaning to the verse so it becomes suitable for devotees in the manner of Mohini's appearance to both parties, right? Because that's the point. One Lord, two parties.
Yes.
So to the one, what are they getting? Karma, you know, and it's, you know, the material dharma, art, and kama. But from the devotees, then they're getting the jnana to bhakti.
Yes, yes.
Right? So the jnana is only in support of getting out of the material world to gain bhakti. Right? And for those who are enjoying in the material world dharma, art, and kama, who cares for mukti? Right? Because in the Vajaymini, they don't strive for liberation. Right? Means at the end of life as sannyas, then they absorb themselves in these principles of being detached from the material world and all that.
Yes.
You know, and strive in that way. So it would appear that they're going for liberation, but they're not. Their interest is in the piety from that sannyas and all that, that will give them in their next life a better material position.
Yes.
Right? So that's their, so they think it's improper to try for liberation.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that renunciate, just like as brahmacharis, you renounce, because then you learn and all that, then your grihastha life will go properly.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get older, you can't be involved in the grihastha life really anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, then now you focus on the vanaprastha sannyas.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But the whole thing is geared towards the grihastha ashram. So you have that side as one side of understanding the Vedas, and the other is that detachment to get out to take up bhakti, not to get out and come back.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The meaning tan nishtam is as follows. This work remains, giving up Brahman and merging. The work has as its own, as its goal, only the mood of exclusive devotion, devoid of jnana, karma, and swarga. Right? So all that's, you know, good work here, and from that getting liberated or going to the heavenly planets. And so giving up Brahman, meaning is that's all there is. You go on to Brahman and merging, you go on to the Supreme Personality Godhead. Sutta Goswami continued, if on the full moon day of the month of Bhadra, one places Srimad Bhagavatam on a golden throne and gives it as a gift, you will attain the supreme transcendental destination. All other Puranic scriptures shine forth in the assembly of saintly devotees only as long as that great ocean of nectar, Srimad Bhagavatam, is not heard. And so all these other Puranas are considered very special until you've heard Bhagavatam. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, this is the king of all scriptures. That is indicated by the verb rajante. The other Puranas reign as kings until Bhagavatam appears. Since Bhagavatam is like an emperor among kings. Or the word rajante indicates shining. The other Puranas shine like stars in the night until Bhagavatam rises like the sun. Right? So there are kings and then there's the emperor. Right? Yeah, because when the sun rises, you don't see the stars anymore. That's the point. Sutta Goswami continued, Srimad Bhagavatam is declared to be the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. One who has felt satisfaction from its nectarian mellow will never be attracted to any other literature. Just as the Ganga is the greatest of all rivers. Lord Achyuta, the supreme among deities, and Lord Shambhu, Shiva, the greatest of Vaishnavas. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. O Brahmanas, in the same way that the city of Kashi is unexcelled among holy places, Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme among all the Puranas. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. O Brahmanas, in the same way that Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme among all the... Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas, right? So that's why it's called Paramahamsa Samhita. Mm-hmm. So how they would see, that's the position that is spoken from. Mm-hmm. So if it's talking about these other levels of how you can, it's how you can elevate yourself to this position. Mm-hmm. So it's how a Paramahamsa would explain it to a neophyte or a Madhyama, how they can elevate themselves. Yes. That's what Bhagavatam's giving. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's addressed from the position of the Paramahamsa. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the other literatures, they may address it from the level that the person's at. Like when you say the Tamasic Puranas, it addresses it from the level the person's at.
Yes. Yes.
The Purana is transcendental. Yes. But how it addresses is not.
Mm-hmm.
This Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work, together with the process of transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated. Right, so you always have transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. So it's all on transcendental position. Mm-hmm. But the point of the knowledge and renunciation, they're servants of devotion.
Yes.
Right, so it's not that they're all equal here. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Verse 18 explains Srimad Bhagavatam's supreme position. This Purana alone is endowed with all glory, Srimat, since it does not have contamination arising from the three gunas, Amalam. Because of this, it is dear to the devotees. This shows the excellence of its bhakti. Even those who are greedy to attain jnana arising from bhakti, those who have attained jnana and those who are atmaramas should take shelter of this work. Paramahamsyam means beneficial for paramahamsas. In this Bhagavatam, knowledge beneficial for paramahamsas, the best param knowledge, since it arises from bhakti, is explained. Those who are practicing jnana should hear this work. It is completely without karma, naishkarmyam. Right, so The transcendental knowledge and renunciation is there. Karma is not. So even if you see, it appears that they're showing how these great kings and engage their kingdom, their household life, everything, it's from the platform of Naishkarmya. They're doing it to please Krishna. But the form of it's always going to be within the rules of Dharma. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur many times explains. The devotee is only interested in pleasing Krishna, nothing else. So only in the primary. So, but now, who's doing that? The soul. Right? But the soul is situated in the body. Body needs maintenance. How does he maintain the body? Through Varnashram. So Varnashram is the means of maintaining the body so it's fit for devotional service. So you want to maintain the body in a way that it does not disturb devotional service. So that's Daiva Varnashram. So that's why the importance of focusing on that mode of goodness. Because mode of goodness won't disturb pure goodness.
Yes.
Passion, ignorance will.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? So, yes. Right? So that's why then things are done because of duty.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. What's recommended in Scripture. If we do just because what we feel like, mm-hmm. then that will distract us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, Sutta Goswami continued. I meditate upon that pure and spotless Supreme Absolute Truth, who is free from suffering and death, and who in the beginning personally revealed this incomparable torchlight of knowledge to Brahma. Brahma then spoke it to the sage Narada, who narrated it to Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas. Srila Vyas revealed this Bhagavatam to the greatest of sages, Sukadeva Goswami, And Sukadeva Goswami mercifully spoke it to Maharaj Parikshit. We offer our obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vasudeva, the all-pervading witness, who mercifully explained this science to Brahma when he anxiously desired salvation. Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Having ended the scripture, he offers respects to his personal deity. I offer respects to the son of Vasudeva, the witness. He directly sees whether I am a devotee or devoid of bhakti, whether I am religious or sinful, whether I know or do not know how to explain the intended meaning of Bhagavatam. I take shelter of his mercy. I am such a rascal. Even Brahma, without his mercy, does not know the meaning of Bhagavatam. Right, so, and why I say that? Because Brahma is the most intelligent person in the universe. Right? He's got four heads. Right? He's first. So the point is that he can't understand it without the mercy of the Lord. Then no one's going to understand it. So in other words, you have to hear it in parampara. You have to hear it in the association of devotees.
Yes.
Vasudeva mercifully explained it to him since he desired liberation. Previous to this request for the knowledge, Brahma desired liberation. After the instructions, however, he desired prema and became indifferent to liberation. So he wanted liberation, how to get out of the material world. But all you're seeing is that material world's a problem, how to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But once you're out, now what? People don't look at that.
Yes.
No jnani looks at that.
Yes.
Right? They just take it for granted, it'll be great.
Yes.
Right? So, then, once he heard Bhagavatam, which is the process to get out, then he developed that attraction to the Lord. Then he wanted prema. Because right? Now you have something to do.
Yes.
Right?
But Maharaj Brahma, when he heard Bhagavatam, it was only the Chatushloki.
That's the essence.
But he heard something more.
I know. We mentioned there about Ramayana is that billion verses, but I heard Bhagavatam's a billion verses. So it seems that when you're dealing with Brahma, then billion verses is the standard. So he only had 7 days, therefore he only described this. Means
yes.
Bhagavatam is the glories of the Lord being described from the perspective of pure devotion.
Yes.
So there's unlimited verses. So these are the ones that are then spoken here, and this is then what we focus on. Because we don't need more than this. It's already so big, right? It means it's taken us 6 years to get through this. Right?
So the other verses are lost?
No, they're on up, because you have to remember,
okay. Yeah.
Krishna spoke to Brahma, Brahma to Narad, Narad to Vyas, so it's not that it's lost, it's up on Satyaloka.
Yeah.
Yeah. The personified Vedas are there, so one of them is Bhagavatam. So I'm sure he can talk for longer than 7 days. You know, he's talking and that, and all the other ones are there. Personified Vedas, here it comes, it's coming, wait for it. Then he gets the last. Yeah, and then they go on. You know, no, they don't do that. So there, it's unlimited. But this is documented so that we have something to focus on, and we then try to study this and that. We told you, yes, okay, this is the preliminary 18,000 verses. So, you know, now we'll go on to the rest of the billion verses, right? Yeah. Signing up?
No.
No. Yeah, that's the problem.
No essays.
Okay. But for those, we'll send them to Brahma, frankly.
Is that correct?
Huh?
Is that correct?
Yeah, you have to go there to collect.
Oops. I'll be back when you finish.
Sudha Goswami continued, I offer my humble obeisances to Sri Sukadeva Goswami, the best of mystic sages and a personal manifestation of the absolute truth. He saved Maharaj Parikshit, who was bitten by the snake of material existence. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. He offers respects to Sukadeva. He is addressed as king of the yogis because he is the chief master of bhakti yoga. Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga. He is the very form of Parabrahman. He delivered Parikit, who was bitten by the snake of samsara. Just as the Lord removed Arjuna's illusion by teaching the Gita, and he removed Uddhava's illusion by instructions in the 11th canto, Sukadev removed Parikit's samsara by the Bhagavatam. This is a statement made for common people. Actually, since all three are eternal associates of the Lord, they have no trace of samsara. It is seen that the system... Right, so just to say that so that you got him out, so yes, then we can follow.
Yes.
That's the whole. It is seen that the system for the continuation of beneficial teachings takes support of a single great devotee among many merciful devotees who expertly bear the task of making the jivas receive benefit. In this case, the word Vishnu Ratha is used to describe Parikit, right? That's the only time we ever see him referred to in that way. Vishnu Ratha means Parikit, who was given Ratha to Yudhishthir by the mercy of Vishnu, or who was received by the Lord himself. What foolish person could think he was affected by samsara? Moreover, just as in this world, a mantra to remove poison does not depend on material knowledge. So, whether one knows or does not know material subjects, the sounds of the Bhagavatam completely uproot the poison of samsara. This is the intention of the speaker in choosing his words. Right, so Bhagavatam works. You'll become transcendental, you become perfect, whether you have any material knowledge or not.
Yes.
Any material skill or not. It doesn't matter about that. You want to go back to Godhead, Bhagavatam's enough.
Yes.
Right? For maintenance of the body, that's where Varnashram comes in.
Yes.
Right? But here, the Paramahamsas, you see, they don't even worry about that.
Yes.
Right? Krishna's, if an elephant can find enough to eat, we're definitely going to find. Right? How many elephants are there? And they're all eating. Like that, yeah.
Not that many. Not that many.
Well, or you could look at it this way. Since there's not so many, then they'll leave something for you. And if there were more, then they'd eat everything and you'd have nothing, right? Sudha Goswami concluded, O Lord of Lords, O Master, please grant us pure devotional service at your lotus feet, life after life. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. Yes, so they want this service life after life. It just means they always want to be engaged in the service. So whether there's more lifetimes or there's not, or they're just coming as preachers, or however it is, they're not worried about it. As long as they're able to serve, you know, here, then the spiritual master, you know, serving in pure devotion. Right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur concludes, I offer my respects to Guru and Krishna and to the ocean of mercy, Lokanath. Footnote 24, Vriti. Vishwanath's diksha line is as follows. Lokanath, Narottam, or Vishwanath, okay. Ganga Narayana, Chakravarti, Krishna Charan Chakravarti, Radharaman Chakravarti, Vishwanath Chakravarti. Footnote by His Holiness Bhanu Swami. You're right. So Vishwanath is the Diksha disciple of Radharaman. But he's the Siksha disciple of Narottam. So Ganga Narayan Chakravarti Krishna. The same knowledge is coming down. But it's that connection's there. So we see is that in the line, we're not worried about the Diksha things. It's the Siksha. But they all have Diksha. Right? So this idea is that, oh, with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then that Siksha line became broken. No, they've always had Diksha.
Yes.
Like every one of the acharyas, you can show their diksha line.
Yes.
But it's the siksha that is going between them. That's the important point.
Yes.
Is that? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Okay, yeah. Oh Krishna Chaitanya. Oh Gauranga, along with your associates. O unconditional ocean of mercy, Please fill me with prema. Glory to the couple, expert in pastimes of rasa and Vrindavan. Please lead me to your gopi associates. Be merciful to this commentary. Right, so lead me to the gopi associates, because it's not lead me to you, because what will you do? It's they're already serving, so lead us to those who are already serving Radha and Krishna. Right? Important. Does that make sense? So if you're servant of the servant of the servant, that's the important aspect. That's a mood. That's an attitude. This idea of, oh, who am I and what can I do? That's not the important point. The point is serving those who are serving. That's the whole point. That's the difference between those who understand the real essence and those who are looking for something cheap. Right? Be merciful to this commentary. Right? Because Vishnu Chakravarti has written a commentary. Right? Mm-hmm. Though I am ignorant, you made me write this commentary. O Krishna, O Bhagavatam, be pleased with this commentary. O protector of the cows, though I am not intelligent, please accept and protect this work. Drink its milk and, if you are pleased, give it to your devotees. This commentary has been completed on the sixth lunar day of the waxing moon in Magh, month 1626 Shaka era. Wow. So we're just within the few days. Because this is Magh. So the waxing moon. Yeah, so that means this, we just started from, we're going into the waning, so it means another 2 weeks.
Yes.
This one he finished. 1626 Shaka. So I'm not sure what that is in the Gregorian is what we use?
Yes.
Julian?
Yeah, Gregorian.
Gregorian.
It's
Gregorian. Julian. Gregorian.
52 or 53 years more.
Sorry?
52 or 53 or something
is
more.
There's a difference. Means this has more or
this is less.
This one is less.
Less
79.
Lord Chaitanya 14
Okay, 79 years more.
79 years. You add on to Shaka. And Shaka and Shakabda are the same?
I heard only Shaka, Shakabda. I didn't read.
Okay.
1705.
Hmm?
That means it's 1705. 1626. 1705 AD.
Year.
17.5.
Okay.
It corresponds to the Julian year.
Huh?
Corresponds to the Julian year.
This corresponds to the Julian.
Yeah, to the Julian.
So Shaka and Julian are the same.
Yes.
But we're Gregorian.
So we're different. We're different.
Hmm?
We're different. That's right.
You don't know these esoterics. May the devotees of the Lord relish this commentary, right? Because I think he's one of the only commentators that did the whole Bhagavatam, right? So him, Srila Prabhupada, because others, some only commented on the 10th canto, some only on up to 10th canto, like that. I'm not even sure there's not something that's just 11th and 12th. Like this,
what about Sridhar Swami? He did entire Bhagavatam.
Did he do? I think so. But you don't see him much quoted,
yes.
These later works. But. May the devotees of the Lord relish this commentary. Since the most learned among the learned have no taste for the Bhagavatam, whose sole function is to play in the waves of sweetness. A mood incomprehensible to the six philosophies. Let it remain an unfortunate creation, defective in every word for them, although it is actually endowed with all good qualities and dances with divine wisdom. Right? So, in other words, for these learned of learned, let them go on in their ignorance and think that it's nothing important. Right? Because otherwise, if they come in and take it seriously, what are they going to do? They're going to make a mess of it. There is no harm if the Bhagavatam contains Arambhavad, Asatkaryavad, of the Vaisheshikas and Nyayikas, Parinamavad, Satkaryavad, of the Shankya philosophers, or Vibhartavad of the Advaitins. The final conclusion of bhakti, the jewel of human endeavors, will be seen by devotion, by the mercy of Guru. Therefore, I offer repeated respects to my Guru, O devotees. This foolish person with fickle mind is crying at your door, like a dog without a master. May he receive a little mercy. So, the end of the Bhagavatam.